O come, O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel, that mourns in lowly exile here until the Son of God appear. Once again, we enter into the season of preparation where we're preparing ourselves for the coming of Christ. By happy circumstance, we have the opportunity, we've been born in a time and a place where we have the great privilege of being aware of the great mercy that God has given the human race. We have had every opportunity to grasp and wonder at the great gift of the incarnation, the reality that God has become a man. Our forebears in the faith, the Israelites, the Jewish people, had the inkling or that awareness to await a Savior. They were expectant. One would put the things to right, the things that they had been, you know, looking at for years and years as a people, the failed kingdoms, so many prophetic warnings that had gone unheeded, so many years in exile and then in subjugation. Despite all that, they still hoped and they still prayed for their salvation, that it would come to them. Certainly their idea of what salvation would be and what it would look like had to be purified, right? We see that when Jesus does come. For Christ came not as a liberator from the Romans, nor did he come to restore a merely earthly kingdom. Rather, he came to bring an eternal one. The Lord was not satisfied with only bringing freedom to the faithful of his day. Instead, he intended to accomplish the salvation of the faithful of every time and every place. Stretching back to before, in the earliest days, to our first parents, and looking far into the future to those who have not yet lived or died in this life. If you ever have ridden on an airplane, you probably are familiar with the routine during takeoff. The stewards come out, the flight attendants, they explain the safety features of the plane, they help you to kind of make sure that you understand what happens if we land in the water, what happens if cabin pressure is lost, what are you to do? It's interesting to see the different reactions, the different way that people kind of approach this. Most of us, I would think, if we've flown enough, it becomes so much routine that we sort of forget to really pay attention. We have our headphones in, maybe, or we're making a last-minute text or call to somebody, and we're really not thinking about that this could be a reality, that we might need this information. How differently would we respond to this explanation if we knew we are going to make a water landing or we are going to lose cabin pressure? How would we approach it then? If we knew that something like that was going to occur, I think we would pay more attention. We might even ask for clarification. Where is the air hose? Where is my safety vest? I would like to know that. Where is that thing? We would probably be more attentive. But because we think it's not going to happen, oftentimes we're very much indifferent to it. And this is often how people respond to the coming of Jesus. How aware are we that we need God's mercy, that we need God's grace in our life? Are we preoccupied with fulfilling our earthly desires, or are we dialed into the fact that we need God's grace, we need God's mercy in our lives, and we are searching for it, looking for it? Today's readings are all about staying awake, being prepared, being aware. Aware of what? What's at stake? If you are walking down the street and you witness someone saving your life, you'd be pretty grateful. Maybe they pull you out of the way of a swerving car, or maybe they shield you from a drive-by shooting, something crazy like that. Would we not be very pleased that we were still alive? We'd be pretty excited about that at that moment. However, if someone saved us in a similar manner, but in a way that we didn't witness it, so maybe they were in the car with this person and they kept them awake so that they didn't swerve, or maybe they spoke to this person, the would-be shooter, ahead of time and talked them out of it, and there again, we would be blessed to be alive, and yet we would not know how close we have come to facing death. To appreciate the incarnation, Christ becoming one of us, we need to understand the gift which has been given. It wasn't simply that Christ came so that we could know God more fully. Yes, that's part of it. He came to save us from the death that afflicted humankind, every person, on account of our sins. We can easily be lulled into forgetfulness of this fact, that without the events of the incarnation, none of us would have a chance at eternal life. So there is certainly, I would say, a good measure of holiday cheer that we're meant to experience during the season of Advent. We're meant to experience this season of waiting. There's a good deal of preparation that's to be made. We don't need to be dour or sad. We don't need to be always focused on death, of course. I know I'm a little morbid, so I do that a lot in my homilies. But there is nothing wrong with being cheerful and joyful. However, it would be unfortunate if we were blissfully unaware of why the incarnation is so vital for us. He who is unaware of the fact that he is in peril is oft the most ungrateful and presumptuous, especially in regard to protecting ourselves. What are we awake for? Why are we meant to be awake? Surely not simply to be in a season of good cheer and receiving presents and so forth. Rather, we're to be awake for what we are meant to be aware of, to be awoken to, is this absolute necessity of God's intervention in our lives, on our behalf. To be awake to the fact that God has saved us. St. John Henry Newman says, "For it is in proportion as we search our hearts and understand our own nature that we understand what is meant by an infinite governor and judge. In proportion as we comprehend the nature of disobedience and our actual sinfulness, that we feel the blessing of the removal of sin, redemption, pardon, sanctification, which otherwise are mere words." So in other words, he's saying we need to be reminded of the great gift that God has given to us and offers to us. If we forget or ignore it, or are indifferent to it, we do ourselves the disservice of more easily forsaking or putting it in jeopardy by our actions. When we understand the price which salvation was won at, we are more readily clinging to it and offer appropriate signs of gratitude and truly rejoice that this gift is freely offered to us. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel.